In the old days, he said, the private boxes had curtains you could close, even during the performance. My grandfather loved going to the opera, but he didn't give a damn about music. He would open the curtains only for highlights on the stage. He would say, "Silence, now we have the aria," and he would pull open the curtains and applaud. "Good, lovely, well done." Then he would close the curtains again, and a servant would come from the house with a basket of chicken and some wine. Opera was just a form of relaxation, and anyway, it was cheaper to take a box at the opera than heat a whole palace for an evening. Suddenly, another enormous boom shook the ground. The floors in the entrance wing had collapsed, one onto another. People standing at the edge of the campo leapt backwards, just as the roof of the entrance wing fell, sending flames and burning debris high into the air. Marcello went back upstairs to his rooftop altana, this time fortified with a bottle of grappa, a video camera, and a bucket of water in case any of the airborne embers should happen to land on his roof. Within minutes, as Girolamo Marcello's video camera whirred and clicked, as Archimede Zeguzo stared in silence from his bedroom window, as hundreds of Venetians watched from rooftops, and as thousands more all over Italy followed live television coverage of the fire, the roof of the auditorium collapsed with a thunderous boom and a volcanic eruption that shot flaming debris 150 feet into the air. A powerful updraft sent chunks of burning embers, some as big as shoeboxes, arcing over Venice like comets. Shortly after 11, a helicopter appeared above St. Mark's, swung low over the mouth of the Grand Canal, and scooped up a tank full of water. Then it soared aloft again, banked over the Fenice, and, to cheers from rooftops, dropped its water. A hissing plume of steam and smoke coiled up from the Fenice, but the fire kept burning undiminished. The helicopter turned and flew back to the Grand Canal to load up again. It suddenly occurred to Girolamo Marcello that his wife, Lessa, who was out of town, might hear about the fire before he had a chance to tell her that her family and her house were safe. He came down from the roof to telephone her. Countess Marcello worked for Save Venice, the American nonprofit organization devoted to raising money for restoring Venetian art and architecture. Save Venice was headquartered in New York. Lessa Marcello was the director of its Venice office. Over the past 30 years, Save Venice had restored scores of paintings, frescoes, mosaics, statues, ceilings, and building facades. Recently, Save Venice had restored the Fenice's painted curtain at a cost of $100,000. Save Venice had become a hugely popular charity in America, largely because it was set up to be, in a sense, a participatory charity. Save Venice would organize event-filled four-day galas in Venice in late summer, during which, for $3,000 a person, subscribers could attend elegant lunches, dinners, and balls in private villas and palaces not open to the public. In winter, Save Venice kept the spirit alive by mounting a fundraising ball in New York. Lessa Marcello had flown to New York earlier in the week to attend the winter ball. This year it was to be a masked ball based on the theme of carnival, and it would be held in the Rainbow Room on the 65th floor of Rockefeller Center. As he picked up the telephone to call his wife, Girolamo Marcello suddenly remembered that the ball was scheduled for this very night.